Father, we thank you for this time to be able to worship you this morning. Lord, what a privilege and an honor it is every Lord's Day, every Sunday to gather as a congregation, as a church family, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for the truth that we've sang about already, the scriptures that we've heard read. Father, we thank you for the prayers that have been offered. And at this time, Lord, as we come to the part of worship where we hear from you, from your holy word, Father, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would help us to have ears to hear what you would say to us today. Lord, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119, Lord, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. Father, I pray that your word would revive us this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you take your copy of God's word and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I mentioned last week that normally, you know, we walk through books of the Bible, and after Easter, we're going to come back to the book of Ezra. But last week, we looked at Lamentations chapter 3. And the purpose of that is because, obviously, we all go through suffering in our lives. We go through seasons, and sometimes those are very long seasons of affliction and trials. And so, Lamentations 3, Jeremiah was reminding us in the midst of his own affliction, in the midst of Israel's affliction and suffering, he looked and remembered who God is, that his love never fails, that his mercy is new every day, that he is always faithful, that he is always good, that it's blessed to be able to wait and be patient and wait and hope in the Lord. And I said this last Sunday, as we wait patiently because we realize that suffering will not always be. The season of life that we're in will eventually end, either in our days here on earth or when we reach heaven with our Savior. There's a day coming when Christ returns and he makes all things new, and suffering will no longer exist. But today, we still live in this world. Today, we still wake up to a world that's full of suffering and sorrow and affliction. And we often ask the question, why do we go through these trials? Why do we have these experiences? Why are we suffering the way that we do? And we do not always know the answer this side of heaven of why we face some of these trials and tribulations. But here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul at least helps us to see as believers one particular purpose of why we face our sufferings. It's because God uses our suffering so that we can minister to one another, so that we can comfort one another, so that we can share the hope of Christ with one another. Our suffering is not just about us, if I can say it that way. God wants to use you and the suffering and the experiences that you have to be able to come alongside other believers, take them by the hand, and help walk them through the journey of suffering and of the Christian life. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, what it looks like to comfort one another in our affliction. So let's stand and read together, beginning in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective and patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you share, you are sharers in our sufferings, so also you are sharers in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Father, we ask that you would help us, that you would guide us, that your Spirit would lead us into all truth so that we can seek to comfort one another in our affliction. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. We do not have time to look at absolutely everything in this passage. It would take us too long. So we are going to hit some of the highlights from this passage and what God has to say to us this morning. Paul begins by blessing the Lord, praising the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how he describes the Lord, our Heavenly Father. He is the Father, verse 3, of all mercies and all comfort. Here, Paul is praising the Lord because Paul knows what it's like to experience comfort when he has been sorrowful and suffering. He praises the Lord for that because it says in verse 4, God comforts us in all of our affliction. Now, Paul experienced a lot of different kinds of affliction. He experienced a lot of persecution, a lot of beatings, a lot of imprisonments. He suffered physically. And yet, this is not just about the affliction of persecution. This is all the afflictions that we face in this life. Even as believers, we face great trials and tribulations. Just because we belong to God does not mean that we are exempt from heartache and hurt and pain. Many of you know what that experience is. Many of you have had great afflictions yourself. All of us, most of us, have experienced the death of a loved one. Many of you have experienced the death of a spouse, the death of a husband or a wife. Some of you know what the pain of losing a child is or losing a parent. Some of you know the grief of losing a brother or sister, a good friend. We've all experienced these last few months losing dear members of this church, as we will gather later this afternoon to remember our brother John. You all have experienced different kinds of sicknesses. Some of you experience arthritis, heart disease, diabetes. Some of you had strokes and heart attacks. Some of you have experienced or know loved ones who have experienced Alzheimer's and dementia. Some of you have experienced cancer, and many of you have experienced all kinds of surgeries. And many who are going to have surgeries in the future. Some of you know what it's like to have broken relationships, struggles with your spouse, struggles with your children or your parents, struggles with your friends, those who have broken promises. Even our kids face great struggles and sorrows in their own lives. Many of them go to school, and there's kids at school that are difficult to get along with, who are mean to them. There are kids who find themselves in great trouble. Many of our children face a lot of fears and anxieties themselves living in this world. Here's the point. No matter what kind of suffering you've gone through, whether big or small, God comforts us in all of our affliction. That's what Paul wants us to see. And one of the ways that God comforts us in our affliction is using the body of Christ to come alongside one another. Again, think about the loss of a spouse. I know that is true for several and many of you here. And there are many in our own congregation that this is a new experience for them these last few months. And they need you to come alongside and care for them and love them through this new season of life. Some of you know what it's like to have a wayward children who have walked away from the Lord. And you need to surround yourselves with others who have had that same kind of suffering and experience. Some know what it's like to experience broken marriages. Some experience diseases, as we've said, and sicknesses. Some have experienced the great loss of children through miscarriage and the death of children before adulthood. And God uses all of these experiences that we have so that we can come alongside one another and care for one another. That's what Paul says here in verse 4. God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. How? With the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so this is what Paul is saying. God's people are not just individuals, us and God, me and God. It's the collective group, especially in the family of God, in the church family. And we're called to comfort one another in our sufferings. And so briefly this morning, there are three things that I think from this passage that tells us that we ought to do as we seek to comfort one another. First of all, in order for us to comfort one another in our afflictions, it means we have to be involved in one another's lives. It's simple. You see this here, Paul saying that we comfort one another with the comfort we have with God. And to be able to comfort one another means you have to be with one another. Then in verse 6, he says, if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort. Paul had a relationship with these Corinthians, and he is saying, I know you and you know me, and I want to enter into your lives. I want to help you. I want to hold your hand in your suffering. Here in our own church, if we're going to care for one another as God calls us to, means we have to enter into lives together. There's a TV show called Alone. It's a survival show. I'm not necessarily promoting it. I'm just telling what it is. And the premise of the show is they take 10 or 12 different people and they go out to different areas of the world and they literally drop them off and see who can survive the longest by themselves. And they have literally no one around them for miles. And they have to face all kinds of tribulations. They face bears and wild animals. They face hunger and they face thirst. But the thing that's most difficult for most of them and why they bow out after just a few days and a few weeks is the isolation. They said, if I had someone else to just do this with me, I think I could survive here a long time. But facing those elements is not the most difficult thing for them. It's the isolation and being alone. For us as believers, praise the Lord, that should not be the case for the Christian. We are called to fellowship together. We are a family. God's people are a corporate body together, which means that we have to be willing to go into one another's lives. We have to be willing to have people come into our lives. And we have to see that there are needs all around us to be able to comfort one another. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, when he was facing great afflictions, verse 5. He says, for even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So here, Paul was facing great trials there in Macedonia. Then all of a sudden, here comes his brother Titus, and things began to get a little bit better. Not because the situation changed, not because the circumstances changed, but he had a brother that he could link arms with and say, we're going to do this together. This is what God calls us to do. Galatians 6:2 tells us to bear one another's burdens. Romans 12:15 tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We cannot carry one another's burdens and we cannot weep with those who weep unless we are intimately involved with one another's lives. This is what God expects of His people. We need to learn to do this. What does that look like? Just some practical things, and then we'll think of some other aspects of this in just a moment. Many of us do this already, but it's just a reminder. It can be as simple as taking a meal to someone after the death of a loved one, or after a hard week, or after a surgery, or a sickness. There are many in our congregation right now that struggle with food because of the situations they find themselves in life. And it just takes taking a meal to them. And it takes making a phone call and making a visit and sending a card to tell them, we love you. You've not been forgotten. We care for you. And as we enter into one another's lives, and we visit with one another and we comfort one another, it's not just the food and it's not just the visit. We must comfort them with something substantial. So the second thing that we must do is comfort one another with the hope of the gospel. That's what Paul wants to get at. That's the heart of all of this. Look at verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also is our comfort in abundant through Christ. What is he saying here? He's saying that the sufferings of Christ, the death of Christ, are ours in abundance. We suffer with the Lord. Paul says it this way, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10. We are always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Paul knew what it was like to struggle with the sufferings of Christ. He suffered for Christ's sake. God's people will suffer for Christ's sake in this world. And we need to remind one another of that. We need to remind one another that our own Lord Jesus suffered greatly. He was a man of sorrows. He was the suffering servant. He knew affliction himself. And the greatest affliction that he faced in this world was his death for our greatest need, our sin. And so Christ suffered. But then Paul doesn't just end there. He says that so also, verse 5, our comfort is abundant through Christ. Why is it that we can be comforted when we think about the sufferings of Christ? Because of the hope of the resurrection. Because Christ not only died for us and for our sins, but he rose back to life. That's our hope as the believer. And that's the hope that we need to share with one another. As we are sharing the gospel of hope with one another, as we are coming alongside one another, we must remember that we are Christians giving them hope of Christ. Look at verse 6. Paul writes, but if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and, not just comfort, and salvation. Paul is saying a part of the reason that we face trials and tribulations is not to just comfort one another, but so that we can point to the one who has saved us, the one who brings us comfort to those around us. There's some people that look at Christians and they see them suffering and they see them going through trials and afflictions and they say, how is it that you're able to still keep on going? And you look at them and say, it's not by my own strength. It's by Christ who is in me. What Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored or I asked the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Paul continues, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Sometimes when we go through afflictions and sufferings, it's so that we can point others who do not know the hope of Christ to the one who has saved us. But not only that, for unbelievers around us, Paul continues in verse 6, if we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Paul's talking about we patiently endure as we walk through trials, and we're pointing to one another. Listen, keep going. Keep taking another step, trusting in the Lord. Endure. We comfort one another with the words of James in James chapter 1, where James talks about being joyful in the midst of trials. We comfort one another in Romans chapter 5, where Paul talks about our persecutions and our trials. What do they produce? They produce character, and that character produces proven hope. We must comfort one another to endure. We must remind one another, look on in verse 7, that our hope for you is firmly grounded or is unshakable. There are members in our own church. There are members of your family. There are friends that need to be reminded of the hope of the gospel that's unshakable in the midst of their suffering. The ground beneath them seems like it's all crumbling. Everything in their lives are falling apart. But they need to be reminded in verse 7 that our hope for you is firmly grounded. It's why we sing the hymn so often, "How Firm a Foundation." The last verse of that hymn says this: "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake." We have brothers and sisters that need to be reminded that they stand firm on the hope of the gospel in the midst of their suffering. And then you look down in verses 8 and 9, look what Paul says about this as we comfort them with the gospel. "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia." Now, we're not exactly sure what kind of affliction. Paul went through all kinds of trials. But here he says that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. That could be a testimony for some of you. I have been burdened beyond my strength. And then what does he say? "So that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves." Paul is saying, we didn't know what else to do. We felt like we had nowhere else to go. We were despairing even of life. We were without strength. We didn't know if we could put one foot in front of the other. Why? The middle of verse 9. "So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Sometimes the sufferings that we experience are to remind us to stop trusting in ourselves and to rely fully on God. J.R. talks about his own suffering and his own life, and he said he learned this truth when all of a sudden he was laid up on his back and couldn't do anything else but just cry out to God. I think this is what Paul is saying here. When you get to the point in your life, there's nothing else that I can do. I have no more strength to give. I have nothing else to offer, but I'm going to remember and trust in God who raises the dead. That's the hope of the gospel, and that's the hope that brothers and sisters need, that we have a God that we believe in who is almighty, who is powerful, who brings back to life those who have died. And he has done that perfectly in his son Jesus, who is the first fruits of our own resurrection, so that when brothers and sisters die in the Lord, that is not the end. It's merely the beginning for the believer, and we have hope. But that same resurrection power Paul prayed for in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to be empowered by the Spirit that brought Christ back from the dead." And that's the power that lives inside of you and me by the Spirit of Christ. And we need to remind one another to rely on God. Trust in God. Remember of the hope of who He is. Look at verse 10. "Who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope." Do not forget where your hope is found. It's found in the Lord Jesus. So we must remember this. We must comfort one another as we enter into one another's lives. We must comfort one another with the hope of the gospel. And finally, in verse 11, Paul tells us we must comfort one another through our prayers. He says this, verse 11, "You also joining in helping us through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many." Paul was a man of prayer. He believed in prayer. Yes, he believed in the sovereignty of God. We believe God is in control of all things, but we believe that God uses the prayers of his people to accomplish his purposes in this world. And so Paul is highlighting prayer here in the midst of suffering. And so for us, we must be a people that prays for one another. We must be committed to praying for one another. We must pray for one another in our physical afflictions, and we must remember to pray for one another in our spiritual afflictions as well. But it's not just praying for one another. What a beautiful privilege it is to pray with each other. That is a gospel grace that God has given the body of Christ to be able to pray with each other. Yes, it's easy to pray for one another, but when you are there with a brother or sister, when you're there at their home or you're here at church, and to just stop and to just pray with them. There are some brothers and sisters that get to the point where they don't even know what else to pray. They don't have words to pray. And what an honor and a privilege it is to be able to take them by the hand and to carry them to the throne of grace on their behalf, to pray for them. And to remind them in our own prayings that there is someone even greater that's always praying for us, the Lord Jesus. He ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. So even when we are faithless in our prayers, Christ always prays for us. And he loves us dearly. We need to pray for one another. So simply this morning, let me just sum up all of what I've said. In order to understand us as a body of Christ to comfort one another, one of the things we have to do is to be involved in one another's lives. That can be scary for some people because it means giving up some of your own time and some of your own resources. It means entering into the lives of one another. And it doesn't always have to mean that you have to do a whole lot. Let me just give you one example. My grandmother, she passed away a few years ago right when I came here to Lowry's. And the last 3 years of her life, I went about every other Friday to go see her in her home. And then when she moved to the nursing home, and then when she moved to the memory care unit of the nursing home. And I would just sit with her for hours. Sometimes we'd go out to eat, but a lot of times I would just sit there with her. And we would talk some. And a lot of times it was just quiet. And it was what is called the art of presence, of just being there with someone. And I remember my grandma saying one time, she said, "David, I'm sorry I don't talk like I used to," because she used to love to talk, but she stopped talking as much. I said, "Meemaw, it's okay. I'm just thankful to be here in this moment." And just being there with somebody sometimes is all that you need to do. When you go to the book of Job and you see his great sufferings, you have his friends that arrive there and they don't say a word for 7 days. And maybe they should have kept it that way, because when they started talking, it became really miserable for them and for Job. So sometimes it's just about being there for someone. But second, when we do speak, let's make sure that we speak the hope of the gospel. That's what people need. That's what we need. That's what I need when I'm suffering. I need someone to remind me of the hope of who Christ is, who loved me, who gave himself for me, who rose back to life, and that I can have hope because of Christ. Let us take Scripture, hide it in our hearts. Let's take our Bibles with us when we visit with one another. And let us remember to always pray for each other and with each other. We must be fervent men and women of prayer of this church for one another. And here's the thing. If this is going to work, I believe it can, and it should, it can't just all be on me, and it can't just be on the deacons. This is everybody playing a role and playing their part, caring for one another. That's what we're called to do. So let us remember the great privilege God has given us as His people to be able to enter into the sufferings of one another and to remind each other of the hope that we have in Christ, even in our darkness. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You are the God of all mercy and God of all comfort, and that You meet us in our affliction and You comfort us, Father. And one of those ways is using Your people. God, our church knows what it's like to suffer, knows what it's like to walk through difficult, heartbreaking times. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us to come together, to comfort one another, to be involved in one another's lives. Help us to remind one another of the hope of Christ. Help us to pray fervently for one another and with one another, Father. God, I pray that we would be a people and a church that's dedicated to serving one another and to serving You and to comforting one another in our affliction. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.